What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast. Hello, hello, friends. Happy Sunday. Welcome back to your weekly bonus episode of the What Fulfills You podcast. My name is Emily Elizabeth. I'm your host. And for today's Sunday bonus episode, I wanted to share a little bit of insight and thoughts on distance in any relationship, really, because I do believe that this applies to friendships. But of course, primarily speaking, this is coming from a lens of romantic relationships and something I have been inspired to talk a little bit more about because oftentimes I'll hear in conversations with friends or peers just maybe a comment like, oh, you know, I'm not going to see my boyfriend or whatever for a week or 2 weeks. And they seem to actually struggle with that a lot. And then I think back to myself when I was in my very first serious relationship in college and where we dated for about 4 years. And I remember, naturally, I didn't know how to create healthy separation from my partner. And I definitely had a level of anxious attachment that luckily has been resolved because of a lot of understanding and trial and error. And of course, I definitely attribute that to his ability, my ex-boyfriend when I was in college, his ability to draw the boundary at the time where really needed to be drawn, where just a lot of unhealthy elements in the relationship, I would say a good chunk of it coming from me. And he drew the boundary and broke off the relationship. And I was deeply saddened by it. I didn't understand why it needed to be the case. And at the same time, I really felt that the relationship had more to give and more to see through. And I was right. And of course, we ended up getting back together 8 months later, but it was after a very stark, change in my personality, my character, the way I approach relationships. And I always think back to that because I, out of observation, I can't say that everyone has that experience where they quote unquote learn their lesson that early in life, especially because I learned that when I was 20 in terms of, okay, number one, it's very important to have healthy levels of not being together. And that could be days and that could even be 1 week. And I actually had a really good friend of mine. We actually met at my old corporate job, but she was on the podcast. I'll try to figure out which episode that is and then link that in the show notes. But her name is Jordan, and on that conversation, which was probably, I want to say, sometime in 2022, she shared what it's like, you know, being in a relationship with someone for now, today, present day. It's, I think it's probably close to 5 years. And some of it has had distance in it. Some of it has been, okay, they're in the same city. And I think 2 years ago, she actually, her and one of her best girlfriends ended up both moving away, which would be like an hour drive away from both of their boyfriends that they both have been dating for, at that point, a couple of years. And I was really fascinated by that because in most cases, a lot of people would say, oh, that's a red flag, or that's really weird that, okay, you guys are in the same city, and instead of moving in together, per se, you guys are actually going further apart. And she is one of the very few people, in my opinion, I think at such a young age, she's now, if I'm 20, she's like now 26 or maybe turning 26 soon. But at this time when she was sharing this, I want to say she's probably 24. And so to be able to have that insight at, you know, 24 and even younger, and to recognize like, hey, it's actually really great for us to not be, you know, like super in the same city or super close and have access to each other this frequently. And even when they were in the same city, she would tell me that they spent maybe 2 or 3 days of the week together. And I learned a lot from her as well. I was single at the time, but I learned a lot in the healthy levels of and growing into a longer relationship. And she also shared, if your goal and your belief is that you're going to marry this person eventually, or you're going to end up with this person long term eventually, what's the rush, right? So her idea, and then her friend as well, who I also know because we all worked at the same corporate job, they both moved. They moved and lived as roommates, and they moved to San Diego from Orange County. Orange County is where I also used to live, but that's about an hour, 20 minutes of a drive. And to them, that not only is that not much of distance, maybe compared to what they've experienced before, where maybe they were living in different states, but also for them, they realized that life is short. You're not going to be able to do this, or it's a little bit of a different chapter in life when you're going to try to go and live with a friend in a new city and experience something different. It's going to be different when you are 29 versus 24, right? So I think that was her mindset. And again, I think it also takes a fellow secure partner to be down for the ride. And she said it on that podcast where it's like, okay, they actually still spend a decent amount of time together. They see each other either always on the weekends, or sometimes it is every other weekend. But again, it builds familiarity around healthy distance and healthy time apart. And I want to touch more on that because I have seen married couples who have been together for over 20 years, and maybe because they met really early on in life, they never had an opportunity to adapt to time apart and not being so entangled. And I'm actually reading a book right now. It's called Centering and the Art of Intimacy by Gay Hendricks and his wife. I forget her first name, but it's just like K. And it talks about it in this book too. I'm gonna very much butcher this, but it's around the fact that there are key differences in relationships and then entanglements. And entanglements are often described for, you know, let's say if you have a hard time separating from your partner, that's more of an entanglement than a relationship. And as I was reading this, just I was really fascinated by it because this was written in, I think, 1985, or published rather. And, you know, a lot of these concepts and thought processes I really align with. And I, of course, love the mindfulness aspect as well. But it's something I am always encouraging for women who listen to this podcast and for women in general. And I do understand that it is hard to resonate with this kind of message if you haven't seen the shitty experience of what happens when you are too entangled or too enmeshed with someone and you fail to keep your own individual life. I do empathize with the fact that it can just be hard to relate. In fact, I have firsthand experience in trying to almost teach a friend that I was a male friend in his very first relationship. And that was actually a good learning curve for me, recognizing like, I can't always teach this to people, even if it might be so obvious to me, or how much I care about a friend wanting to help them understand like, hey man, it might not be the best idea to hang out with your girlfriend 4 to 5 times a week. And at that point he had completely
you know, forgot his own life. He forgot to maintain working out, all of which he later on shared with me as a reflection, and realized that it wasn't healthy to be spending 4 to 5 times a week with his very first girlfriend ever. But I kind of also realized, well, sometimes people just have to go through that to realize, like, okay, this is not healthy, and you see kind of how your life takes a tumble. But sometimes people are good at taking preventative measures and can really take on messages and lessons learned from, you know, people who have more experience that can go, oh, I've heard this before, I've heard it many times, and this is something I'm going to be mindful of as I get into a relationship. Or maybe as you are already in a relationship and you're reflecting on what are some things you can do and implement with your partner to help create more healthiness around it.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I think this is definitely one of them. And I'll say, for me in my current relationship right now, I've always been a fan of some sort of distance in a relationship. And I think for a few reasons. I think number one, I used to live in LA, and I primarily would date in New York. And for me, I really enjoyed at that time being able to split time between two cities. And I think that's just a selfish reason, okay? So that really doesn't necessarily pertain to everyone. But I think the second reason, ultimately, is especially when I'm an entrepreneur and I'm also dating another entrepreneur, and we have specific goals that require us to be able to focus and not get distracted by one another, especially in the very early years, right? There is a lot of benefits to actually having physical separation. I know my partner can attest to this now, and he certainly wasn't the biggest fan of distance in the beginning, but over time he has seen, not number one, I mean, the great part about us is that we actually see each other probably about every 2 weeks on average. Sometimes it's, you know, 1 week in between, and sometimes it's 3 weeks in between. It just depends. But we currently live in two different countries, although the flight is actually under 5 hours, or just about 5 hours of a flight. So it's not too bad. But that being said, we see each other in total probably about the same amount we would see each other regularly per month if we lived in the same city. Because I can imagine if we both lived in the same city, we probably would see each other 3 to 4 times a week. And let's just, like, okay, let's just say it's 3 times a week. That's probably 12 days per month, or 12 times per month. So usually when we're together now, once, you know, after, you know, every 2 weeks or whatever, we are together for usually about 2 to 3 weeks at a time. And another fascinating thing I have reflected on in this experience, and again, kind of thinking about my current relationship and then prior experiences, I realize that it's in a fun way, we get to really test out what it's like to actually coexist together in the same space, and quite frankly, just live together under the same roof for an extended period of time. And in most cases, I don't know if a lot of people get that experience when, let's just say, like, before moving in with a partner, because, okay, it's one thing if you you know, your partner stays over at your place for a week or a weekend, right? But to do it consistently where you're together for 2 to 3 weeks, you know, sleeping in the same bed and like in the same kitchen and all of that, right? It is different. And it really does test, I think, the muscle of, or rather the question of, can you mesh well together in a living space and in a living environment? And I personally have enjoyed that. I've shared this with my partner too. I have enjoyed being able to observe and experience that in this way, which I find to be extremely beneficial, because in most cases, I think in a traditional relationship approach, let's say you do live in the same city, which of course I think is probably like the best case scenario, but then you do miss out on some of these eye openers that you might not really get to see until, let's just say, 2 years in. And so an example of that would be, number one, how do you do with extended period times apart, right? So it tests your communication skills, it tests your personal anxiety and then your partner's anxiety levels. It tests your, to be honest, like it tests, I guess, your loyalty, or maybe just heightens it even more, and vice versa on your partner's side. It puts trust, I think, once again, up there even more. And a lot of this, I think, can get coasted through when you are, you know, seeing each other once or twice a week in the early days, and like you're building up, as most traditional relationship dynamics are when you are in the same city. And something else too I noticed in my current dynamic is that it's really fun to actually constantly be looking forward to seeing each other. Obviously, and hopefully in all cases, right? If you're dating someone, even if you're in the same city, you guys are excited. But it is, you know, pretty fair to say that the more frequent you get to see someone, or the easier the access is, subconsciously at some points there is maybe less excitement or less like, oh my gosh, I'm, you know, like you see each other and you get the butterflies. And so I think in my scenario with distance, and that just being the context of it, right, it wasn't intentional, but I think the bright side I've seen is that we are constantly looking forward to seeing each other, and it really phases out the honeymoon phase, in the sense that we don't just get entangled with each other constantly, because we actually do have physical boundaries, right? Like at certain points, if, you know, no matter how much I want to continue to stay in Medellin, it's like, okay, I have to go get some things done in New York, and then, you know, you leave, and then vice versa for him when it's like in New York, or maybe we're both in Miami at the same time. I think that has really helped in the sense of not getting too heavy into the classic honeymoon phase where you're unhealthily obsessed with spending time with your person. And that really goes into my other point on this topic, which is, okay, if you are in a relationship right now, or you recognize that you perhaps will get into a relationship at some point over the next few years, certain things that you can do for yourself, especially as a female, regardless of where you're at, is number one, maintaining your own individual life. And what I mean by that is to continue to explore what intrigues you and what interests you. And a big obstacle I see is that people will say, well, I don't have friends to go with me, or, you know, I'm nervous, I'm scared, like I don't want to look like a fool if I go to dinner by myself, or I don't want to look weird if I go to, I don't know, a tennis class by myself, right? You do realize like these environments, whatever that might be, are there in a way for you to also meet new people and make friends, right? So I think in a sense, it's actually better for you to go to these new things that you're interested in, especially if you don't have any friends that are already interested in these things, because then you have an opportunity to meet someone or people in general that also enjoy what it is that you're there for. I would say another part too is, as you form your close friends and the people that you love spending time with and catching up with, make sure you maintain spending time with them away from your partner. This is something that I was very good at implementing after in my college relationship after he had broken up with me, I really saw myself isolated because I was like, whoa, I actually have no girlfriends. I was transferring schools and that definitely didn't help on that side. But I felt like outside of my then boyfriend, I didn't have anyone to go to. I didn't have close relationships. I didn't really have anyone for emotional support. And I just realized I had to rebuild Emily from the ground up, which was an amazing opportunity because a breakup really crumbled me mentally and emotionally. And I think that was a really good learning curve. And that's why I'm emphasizing that today, which is when you do finally develop a few core people in your life, whether they're in the same city or not, because for me, I still build connections just by having mindful phone calls or FaceTime calls with friends that live in different cities. But when you have people in person to spend time with, don't run away from that when you suddenly get into a relationship. It's actually very important that you maintain that and you have your own girls' night and your own girls' time, and vice versa, to allow your partner to have his own time with his friends and to be able to go out accordingly, right? And to not have fear or anxiety or jealousy around that. I think there is a spectrum on what people are comfortable with, but in general, there's something to look inside, or there you should be looking inwards if you recognize that you feel anxious and a little controlling if you don't want your partner to go hang out with his friends, and vice versa. If you feel that resistance from your partner where he's not allowing you to spend time with your girlfriends, or he's just a little hesitant to, or less open to you doing that, right? That's okay. Those are things to pay attention to. But the irony is that by doing so, by having time away from each other and having lives away from each other, it enables you and your partner to come together to actually have things to share with each other, to have things to connect on, to be able to still, as Esther Perel would say, to have mystery between each other, because you still are constantly learning and finding out new things about one another. And without that, without the individual lives, it is really hard to have that, because then it's just an entanglement or an enmeshment, as I've seen other couples, therapists use. And there's a lot of truth in that, you know? And so I really find this true as well with friendships, especially when you're younger and you have more attachment to friends, or you feel FOMO or left out, right? Trust me when I say that distance does make the heart grow fonder. And let me just tell you, if for any reason with time and distance apart, I can speak on this especially with friendships. I mean, for dating too, but especially for friendships, I look back and I know of certain people where I tried my hand at consistently reaching out over a span of a year, and the people would not reciprocate in a similar way. And I don't think it was ever out of spite or out of not wanting to necessarily, but it's just not a priority for them, or it just, you know, was overlooked and they didn't think of it. And that's okay, right? My point is, though, that when you are a priority in someone's life, they are going to miss you. They are going to want to reach out, and people will speak with their actions. And I've learned over the years, it's not personal. It's really not. And I know it's easier said, you know, now sitting here where I have really incredible connections and friendships and relationships, but both with guy friends and girlfriends. But for me, it took years to build, and it also took me learning along the way. I probably learned this at some point in late college years, or maybe right around the first year I graduated, simply that if they want to, they will. And it has nothing to do with me, right? But the people that align with me as a person, just in general, they will also show up similarly. And so for that reason, I don't lose sleep over it, is what I say. But that is all I really have to say on this topic. And I hope this little solo episode brought some curiosities and insights for you on the benefits of having distance, a physical distance. And this is not about playing a game and trying to play hard to get, but rather understanding why it actually brings a level of health to any good relationship, and why time and time again I've heard so many older people with more wisdom and more life experience, they all say very similarly that you have to learn, and if not already, have to learn how to keep and maintain your own life and maintain your own person. Because relationships, whether it is friendships or a romantic one, they are two individual whole people that come together to create even a bigger force and bigger impact and etc. And so if you're curious to gain better insights and to really educate yourself better when it comes to healthier relationships as a whole, I mentioned her earlier, but Esther Perel is someone I highly recommend. You can follow her on Instagram, listen to her podcast interviews, but I find that a lot of her insights are very worthy of listening to. I also love the book that I'm currently reading, which is Centering and the Art of Intimacy. I've got it on Amazon. I'll link it in the show notes. And I think in general, I've mentioned this or these books as well, but a lot of mindfulness books from Thich Nhat Hanh for me has impacted the way I love, the way I show up in all kinds of relationships, but especially romantic ones. And so I really would recommend reading True Love by Thich Nhat Hanh. And No Mud, No Lotus, I think that's also a really great one. And it has truly just helped me reframe and shift my way of thinking that I can openly say in past years when I was much younger, definitely were unhealthy and had a level of insecurity to these thoughts. And so hopefully these are helpful in your own personal development and personal growth journey. Thank you for having me be a part of it. And as always, for the personal growth card game, the journal, all What Fulfills You merch, you can shop them online at whatfulfillsyou.com. And for 10% off, it is whatfulfillsyou10 at checkout. All of it is linked in the show notes. Thanks again for tuning in today. I will chat with you all in the next episode.